Last time on Wanderlust.
I think Fred is going to get out a lump of that metal he found, but he just wants to kind of play around with it, see kind of what properties it has.
Okay, so you put it next to the fire. It heats up and glows.
It's the middle of the night. Moons are up there, so, you know. You said you wanted to leave with the birds being... This is when they're asleep, so...
Yep, I'm getting up. We are gonna leave.
It was good to meet you, Hugo. Thank you for letting us stay here.
He just gives a thumbs up. The climb up gets pretty treacherous, but it's the most direct route south. As you make this slow ascent and reach the top, you kind of have a moment of standing and looking over the landscape. And as you make your way through, there is a dense mat that's only maybe 4 or 5 inches tall of this kind of soft, springy, you know, leafy plant.
Estelle would like to see if there's any animals out that she can see.
Something you're maybe familiar with at this point, you've encountered tunnels before. When you pull your hand back, you can see that the dust on your hand is a dark black color, almost like obsidian. It's glittering a little bit. You kind of start feeling like, I feel very strange. You started feeling weird once you got into this thicket of small flowers. Instead of insects pollinating these flowers, you can just kind of like ambient see like very fine glittering dust in the air of the pollen of these plants just floating around. You're like, I'm breathing that great. And you pass them out to the two people that you're very certain are in your party, Estelle and Juliet.
There was another person in our party, wasn't there? Where's Guffy?
Autumn, you hear a bark and you kind of snap to. You look back, tunnel. You look forward, tunnel. You look up, tunnel.
Guffy looks at me quizzically. I say, can you find Mom?
As you start running, you hear scratching coming from the rock next to you. You see very large claws push through and tear the rock. And then you see the end of a huge star-nosed mole smash out into the path behind you. All right, Guffy bites onto the rope. You grab onto it and you get tugged out.
I make sure to grab Autumn because she doesn't have a mask right now.
All right, never mind.
Thank you.
You all run out of there safely. You guys are just starting to climb an elevation again as you're clearly making your way up another mountain. As all of you walk away from your last ordeal with poisonous flowers and almost losing Guffy and other members of your parties, Autumn, by the way, I'm just going to say shout out to Autumn/Zach for putting their name in Roll 20. That's sick. It's really helpful. Anyways, moving on. Oh, and Caitlin too. Anyways, so after the ordeal of losing Guffy and Autumn, you guys make your way down one mountain and begin making your way up another. The area that you're walking through right now is idyllic. It's all these massive old trees and fairly low undergrowth. The climate's getting a little cooler and you're beginning to like increase in elevation, right? So it's a little bit of a hard walk, but it isn't a steep straight up. So the trees around you are getting a little bit more evergreen. The needles here are not just a deep green, but also a deep maroon and like a deep violet. So it's kind of like a, I don't know.
That's really pretty.
Yeah, I was going to say like an emo rainbow. It's a goth rainbow of trees that are growing all around you. The wildlife seems to be decidedly unintimidating. And for a while, you guys get comfortable. You know, you can see an occasional paw print moving on that sort of disrupts the landscape, but given like the thick bed of needles and how far you can see, they're somewhat easy to spot. Like at this point now, the track that you're following is pretty clear. And it's just kind of a pleasant afternoon of, you know, like there's 4 hours of walking here where you're just kind of making your way, you know, basically until noon, slowly climbing up this mountain.
Is this what you're...
So when I said there was a moment where you could have scenes if you wanted to, this is it. If you don't want to, though, it's fine.
No, I think this is good.
Real quick, hang on. We have to point something out. I appreciate that Mandy put her title.
Yeah, I mean, Estelle didn't go to school for all those years to be called Mrs. She's Dr. Estelle Settlemyer.
Well, she would be called Mrs. She'd be Miss.
I am a Ms. I think at some point while we're walking, Estelle finds herself walking in step with Juliet. And I think they have like general little small talk for maybe a few minutes. And then Estelle is going to ask, oh gosh, it's been like 2 weeks since I've done this voice.
Just think Bluey's mom.
Chili.
Now, you want to know what my word is to get in? It's Crocodile Dundee.
I mean, it's not a bad word to get into it.
So, Juliet, I'm curious, as someone else who's been interested in going out into the wilds, why did you choose to come all the way out here to Smoky Banks? I know between the symbiobes there's a lot less chance of getting completely lost, because you might run into one of the other herbs at some point.
There was an opportunity to come and gather some data, and I needed just a change of scenery, so Smoky Banks seemed like the place for me. Why did you decide to come back? Were you, happy traveling around?
I'm happy to answer that, but I feel like you didn't really answer my question. Because, look, you're a little green out here. I'm sure you know you're a little green.
I don't know how to take that, but yes.
I'm not saying you're doing a bad job. I'm just saying I can tell, you're just getting your feet wet, you know? And everybody has to, everybody starts somewhere, especially when they come out here in the wild. So, I'm just curious, with your current expertise, why you came so far out. Like, this is the middle of nowhere.
Quick question. Is this conversation in earshot of everyone, or is this like a private conversation?
I would say it's probably a private conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're not like whispering, but we're not like...
Yeah.
Autumn is playing with Guffy at the front of the line.
I guess I wanted to go very far away, for mostly a petty reason. And so I've been focusing on the research part.
Okay. I will drop it there then.
I don't want to drop it. What was the petty reason? God says. A squirrel goes up and goes, what was the petty reason?
You know the reason.
Well, I've forgotten it. Now I want to find out narratively.
It's a story for another time. How about that?
I will take you up on that. I will say I forgot the question you asked because I was so focused on what your actual answer was. What was your question?
I was just wondering what made you come back to Smoky Banks. Were you happy traveling around? I assume you were taking care of animals there as well?
Yeah, Felridge had a pretty good, sanctuary. But, God, it's been ages since I've been able to go out into the wilds, and coming back home was the opportunity to do that.
So you did this for fun before, coming out into the wilds?
Oh, yeah. Well, especially between, the symbiobes, it was pretty, I don't want to say low-key, but nothing was as intense as it is out here. And, you're pretty close to other herbs, so you're able to, we're not as stranded in the wild as we are out here. But I missed it, and there really wasn't going to be another opportunity to do this. So I took this one. Also, it's a great, we come back here all the time, and I do love it here. I love Smoky Banks, and it's a good place for Matthew to kind of find his footing.
So, So you've done this for a while now.
It's been a while. It's been a long time.
But yes, you. This is not your first. Your first time. Does it get easier as you go?
I would say yes, but...
Your confidence is not instilling confidence in me.
Well, what I will say is that things have changed. Yeah, the last time I was out in the wilds was a decade or so ago. And things seem to be, I don't know if it's just out here in Smoky Banks, but things seem to be getting bigger, and I think it will get easier as we get used to the area and what's out here, but I'm not sure what else is out here.
Are there types of people who just can hack it out here and types of people who can't? And how do you know which one you are?
Well, I guess we did meet goddesses, I forgot his name. We meet that one fellow, and he's I assume you're not talking about like someone like him. I assume you're talking like
no.
Okay. I would say that the fact that you're out here already means that you can make it in some capacity because we've already gotten through a lot out here.
I would agree, yeah.
And you haven't turned tail and run home, which is big. I would say that the way that you know, if you thought you couldn't make it out here, you would have gone back to Smoky Banks as soon as we started hearing birds.
Unless I'm just too stubborn to see what's in front of me.
Well, you know, sometimes I think you need that stubbornness to do something like this. I think we might all be a little stubborn. No, I think you're doing... I think you're doing very, very well. I was just curious because this is not necessarily where I would throw a newbie, you know, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, I think we are going to make it through this just fine.
As you say that, the forest around you, you can see way off ahead. The trees stop kind of suddenly. You can, like, see an edge to the forest. As you go, the footprints around you kind of grow more consistent. You can see more of them kind of converging now. You know, you might be picking up other tracks from other directions, maybe at least two or three. The wind is blowing towards you, and the smell grows different. You know, originally it was kind of like fresh nature smells generally. Maybe that, you know, air freshener scent of pine was wafting towards you. You start smelling something more akin to burning and also to rot. The smell of decay and fire is now wafting towards you, blowing down the mountain as you're still climbing up towards this edge of the trees.
You guys smell that? It smells like adventure.
I was actually wondering if that might be our blight hound.
That's what I said, adventure.
All right, tomato, tomato.
Well, in either case, I think that means we're getting closer.
Can we do some perception checks?
Cody?
Well, yeah, but, you know, you can ask me questions. I guess it's not specific. You know what I mean? Yes, you can roll with something to ask me some questions.
Does it, do we see, like, anything other than, like, the smell? And you said there was just the smell so far, or do we see...
Well, right now what you can see is more footprints, an end of the trees, and there is a smell. You can ask me some questions, but obviously when you get there, you'll see what's there, right? There's trees that obscure your vision a little bit, so it's harder to tell.
Do the trees look like they end, like, in a nap? I mean, all of this is natural, but does it look like it, like the forest ends, like how forests normally end, or is it like...
Seems like something where maybe you could roll with some stuff and ask me some questions.
Okay. I didn't know how much we could see, you know? Gosh, I'm so bad at everything not related to being weird.
And this is open to anyone, you know, any of you can do whatever you want.
Okay, I'll take it. That'll give me a +3.
Okay. Anyone else doing anything?
Yeah. Would plant identification help here, or no?
If you ask a question related to plants, yes.
Okay, like would it help with the smell or no?
What do you want to know about the smell? I guess, like, ask a question. You know what I mean? Like, tell me what you want to find out.
Okay, yeah.
I've given you the free information. Now you have to be pretty specific about what you want to know beyond that.
Okay. Is the beast's home here?
Oh, okay. That's a good question. I will say plant identification, yes. I'll give you the answer in those terms if you want to use that.
Okay. I'll use plant identification, investigate, and animal anatomy, I'm saying just because...
Certainly.
If certainly they're, that. Like, marking their territory, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you apply multiple skills to a role?
I don't think so. No, you can't.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my gosh, you can't. Gosh, sorry. We played...
Yeah.
We played Power by the Apocalypse, and I forgot.
Yeah, no, I was just like, all the things.
Man, I was just going to let it happen.
Yeah, I don't even know what I was going to do, because I had, like, the pluses of what they were, and that would have been ridiculous.
I should have let it happen and then tried to use that in the future.
Well, it would have been dumb. It would have been absolutely dumb.
Yeah, you would have gotten, like, plus 7.
Yeah. Sorry, a goblin lost all my dice. All right, that's a plus 3.
Okay, so I'm going to answer Zach's question first and then answer yours as all of you creep closer. As you're walking, you kind of see this end of the trees. The answer to Zach's question is both. There is a very definitive line that would appear to be unorganic, right? Or inorganic. It's not like it slowly stops and then, or something like that, or you can see smaller trees. But similar to that, you also do start seeing evidence of dead and dying trees in a higher quantity than you've seen before. You're always going to see the occasional dead tree or the one that's been struck by lightning. It starts to kind of be checkerboarded through that there are dead trees, and then there is a hard stop line. As you keep making your way closer, Caitlin, you said you were trying to ask if you think that the animal's home is here, right?
Yeah.
So you don't see any evidence that you would expect from knowing anything about animals that this is where specifically its home is, like, trying to think of what evidence there would be of a den. Like, you don't see dead animals around. You don't see obvious marks on trees, like territorial marks. You don't see, like, you can see footprints of them moving through this area, but you don't see, like, an area that's been totally, like, they've been walking around in circles or pacing or areas where they've slept, anything like that. You don't see anything like that. So that's kind of what you've gained from your roles. Do you just want to keep pressing forward?
Before we do that, Fred is going to speak up.
Okay.
So what is our plan here? Do we, like, we've seen other beasts around that scared the bejesus out of us and almost took us captive and almost ate our heads off. What are we trying to do here? Like, let's say we find the kids in this beast's lair, and are we fighting the thing? Like, we just hoping it's not here? Like, what is our plan?
I think, securing the children would be our first priority. Avoiding a conflict with the beasts would be my second priority, I think. If we can find a way to lure them away from the children so that they're separated, I would hope we could do that. I would say those are my priorities, I guess.
Back when we were in the ruins, I was able to distract with, like, based on what happened last time, it seems like the Blight Hound doesn't like having something else aggressive coming towards it. It seems to not necessarily want to be confrontational. What I would want to be doing is trying the same thing I did last time, puff up, get loud, make noises to try and make it stay away from us. If somebody wants to make sure to grab the kids, I would think that the more of us that are making noise and trying to be aggressive, it's going to shockingly keep it away from us instead of attacking us. So I would say that that's probably plan A.
Divide and rescue.
And avoid confrontation. And then B would be, I would think, some form of subduing it. With the first priority being if we find the kids, get them out. But if we see a Blight Hound, puff up, throw up your hands, wave them around, start making noise, especially if it starts charging you.
Out of game, do we know something about what harms it or scares it? I want to say Mandy something said. With fire, but
we did not establish anything.
Just
like
that, like getting aggressive.
Mandy was aggressive and that chased it off last time, or Estelle was aggressive and that chased it off. We didn't do anything with fire or anything.
No, it was like burning at its joints. It was vaguely luminescent in like an orangey way.
Okay, yeah.
Not necessarily it wasn't on fire. It glowed.
Right. Okay. Sounds like a plan to me.
Well, I'm definitely on team distract/subdue.
I'll join you on that.
Because I'm not good at sneaking, but I am good at being a distraction.
You're very good at being loud.
Thank you.
I suppose I can try to sneak in and get the kids if they're there.
I was going to suggest that for me as well.
I think that's a very good way to split up, and I think we should be able to handle this. I think Autumn and I can handle either distraction or hopefully subduing. Obviously, if something starts going in the other direction, I would say you two, Juliet and Fred, just take the kids.
How big is the Blighthounds, Cody, again?
Something like 15 feet tall. Big.
They're 15 feet tall?
When they stand upright, yeah.
Okay. Hey, Fred, you're good with crafting things, right?
Yeah, I'd like to think so, yeah.
Can you attach this machete to a stick for me?
Sure, I could do that. Can I do that?
You can, yes.
Do I need to roll for that?
Roll with crafting, and then Zach, you'll have an item that does shift when you are successful with an attack.
That is a +3.
I will say that is successful.
I'm also hoping this helps. I'm hoping this gives me a little bit of defense, too, with, like, having a pole arm, so if it tries to bite me, you know, I have something to stick in its mouth. You know, just want to be clear with what I'm aiming for.
So that gives you one shift if you are successful on your roll.
Cool. Now Autumn has a glaive. Also, I was asking Fred to do this specifically because, you know, like, I've tied things to sticks before and they, like, immediately, like, you know, bend, you know, at the joint. Where it's like, maybe Fred could actually make this so it doesn't, like, I swing it once, the tape falls off.
Yeah, the secret is you gotta put what you're attaching to the pole through the hole in the shaft of the knife, and that's what keeps it from rotating around on you.
Interesting.
I just made that up completely.
Me, as a person who's made stuff before, would think that you just, like, cut a slot in it and then stick the machete and the blade in that part and not just tape it to the end.
All right, y'all just continuing to walk?
Yep.
Okay, so you all make your way to the edge of the tree line. As you peer through, what you see is very odd. You've hit the top of this mountain, right? And I say top of a mountain, it is the crest of a mountain that then drops back down and leads to further higher mountains. You know, you're kind of going up and down foothills here.
So it's not like a plateau.
Kind of.
Not like a flat plateau. Well, it's not a flat, like, plateau. It's still rolling hills a little bit.
Yeah, but, like, this is, like, a pretty wide area. So think maybe, like, trying to give this in yardage. I need to, like, look up how many yards are in something. Like, the top of the hill, the edges kind of slow their slope a little bit, and you can see a few buildings stretched out over this kind of gentle crest of this mountain.
Buildings.
The clearing is very, like, straight line clearing, right? So they clearly at some point here, trees were cut down, a clearing was made artificially. You can see, like, a square perimeter, like right angle edges of cut into the trees that are here. The buildings that are stretched out in front of you, to your eyes, are very odd. They're not immediately recognizable architecture. They're kind of domed looking, what you would think concrete. Like, they're not, you know, straight sides. It just kind of looks like these little bubbles of hardened concrete that are scattered throughout in a, like, very straight line grids. Like, it's very utilitarianly built. These just, like, little bubbles. You know, they look like they're all kind of identical, like these same little bubbles. And then, like, that's half of the clearing. The other half, you can see these kind of tall poles with blue glassy material wrapped up them, stretching up into the sky. When you walk in, you can smell, like, a faint burning plastic smell, and there's also, like, you guys know what electricity is, right? So there's, like, kind of like an electric hum coming from this area. And other than that, it is totally silent. The buildings that you see scattered out around you, some of them you can see some damage, like maybe some plant life starting to grow up on them. They look kind of dirty, kind of worn down. You can see where there probably used to be foot traffic, things like that. Like, there's obvious signs that this was inhabited, and right now you hear and see nobody. It's just like this thing here looking kind of old. You know, right now you're getting electrical hum and wind noises. You can see a lot of those burnt Blighthound footprints throughout here, and nothing.
Does it look like overgrown then, or no?
Overgrown would imply that it had been there for longer than that would imply. Their buildings are maybe dirty and maybe some plant life growing around it, but not to the point where it's growing over it.
So it looks like recently inhabited then.
Somewhat, yeah. Like, this hasn't been here for 500 years. This is... looks like someone could have maybe been here months ago, weeks ago, certainly.
Oh, that recent. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, imagine if you stopped mowing your yard, what it would look like after a month, right? It would be pretty overgrown. Kind of looks like that.
So our yard currently, yeah.
Yeah, imagine. I don't know what that looks like at all.
Yeah, I've never seen such a yard before in my life.
I mowed mine really short before it got somewhat cold, so that kind of bought me some time. I need to do it again.
Anybody else getting a bad feeling about this? Something?
If by bad you mean full of adventure, then yes.
No. No, just bad. Do you have anything that doesn't feel like adventure?
Being in town, generally?
Well, this used to be a town, I think.
I think's what sells us on the adventure feel. You get that, right?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, what confuses me about this place is it doesn't look like ruins. Like, it doesn't look like it that old. It looks like it. People could have been here recently. Is anyone else noticing that?
Yeah, I also hear the hum of electricity, which is frankly odd.
My name is Fred. Don't call me Frank.
Can we do investigation stuff?
What do you want to try to find out? What do you want to do?
I want to see if I can figure out where the electricity is coming, like where the electricity noises are coming from, and if there's like a generator in a direction or something.
Yep. Roll me a thing.
Can I? I don't know if I would need to roll with for this, but can I send Guffy down ahead of us just a little bit so that to see if he can like smell other beings?
Roll animal handling.
Okay.
Mine was a 0.
Okay.
That's a 4.
Yeah. Okay. So with a 0, this is basically what I'll tell you. You're not blind and this isn't that hard to figure out, but you maybe don't get a lot of good information from this. Those towers with like blue glassy stuff on them all have big cables freaking coming off of them that are just run along the ground. And you chase those to a box. When you open it, it smells like burning in there. And you can still hear like a faint hum of electricity from there. Out of game, are you picking up that those towers are solar panels? Like glassy blue?
I didn't, but I get it now.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, those are solar panels that are going to a big transformer that is on the outskirts of where like the habitable looking buildings are, but it just, you open it and it just looks burnt and smelly. You know, like you get that magic black smoke comes out of it when you open the door. As everyone who's ever done anything with electronics knows, is bad news.
I don't think it's supposed to be doing that.
So, Dr. Estelle Settlemyer, you send Guffy off into the village, and it's like no hesitation. He sprints straight up to one of the structures, stands at the door, and gives you every bad warning sign you have ever seen him make. Like, ears back, tail down, growling, like, hunched, like, just like, you rarely see him do this, and it is bad and danger. It is never a good thing when you see this.
Okay, when I see him do that, I signal him to come back.
You have to do it a few times. Like, you say Guffy again, and then finally he, like, kind of starts to back up and then turns and runs away. When he gets up to you, he is whimpering.
Aww. I pet him and give him, because I think I have treats in my bag, so make sure he gets something.
What is Autumn thinking?
Does she notice any, like, human tracks? Like, specifically, like, from the children, or, like, something being drug, like, if the blight dogs were, like, dragging these children here? I'm sure that's a role, but that's what I want to ask.
Well, you're kind of asking two different questions. Do you see human tracks? I would say without much difficulty, you could see adult-sized boots. Now, the age that the kids are, teenage male, adult female, that shoe size is not that much different. But, you know, like, my point is that there are teenagers with large feet and adults with fairly small feet, you know? Like, you haven't seen human footprints at all this whole time, until you got here.
But it's inconclusive if they're what we're looking for or not.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Can I look for, like, other signs of people? Like, if there's, like, blood smears or something, or...
Do you just want to go start opening doors?
Yeah, the quintessential sign that humans are around, there's blood.
Well, I'm looking to see if these children are injured, you know, like if they were, like, drugged here by a blight dog.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to open doors. Well, no, I am foolhardy.
Juliet was going to try to. Like, she was going to knock on the door and kind of, like, call out, look through the window.
Okay, so setting this scene again, right? You guys are walking up. Fred goes over and finds a transformer kind of on the outskirts. Opens it up, black smoke goes out. He goes, I don't know what this is. Before you guys got there, Estelle sent Guffy up. He ran up to one of these random, kind of very uniform-looking concrete foldy domes or, you know, wavy domes that are spaced evenly throughout this area and started growling at one of them and was giving off, like, extreme danger warning signs, right? Do you guys want to go up to that one or just pick anyone besides that one?
I think Julia would be doing one closer, that she wouldn't be doing that far one.
Okay, cool.
Is there one that, like, has more or less or more footprints by it?
I hate to say no to that question just because, like, I usually like to give you guys something, but...
If the answer is no, that's fine. Then I just pick one at random with Julia. You know, like, I'll pair up with Julia and go open a door, you know?
Yeah, like, really, there isn't anything. The one that got a warning sign is the one that, you know, there was growling at or whatever.
No, that's completely fine. I understand sometimes the answer is no.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys just pick one at random, let's say the closest one to you. You go up, and it looks really weird to your eyes. The door, as you would guess it, right, you could see maybe a path leads to this, it stops. It's like totally smooth and made of an opaque glass. There isn't obvious hinges on the side. It's just a smooth door with like a glass panel on the other side of it, but you've never seen anything really like that before as like door, you know, like that's odd. When you get close, a faint light shines from the glass panel next to this larger door size, you know, piece of opaque glass.
Does the panel do anything?
It's glowing.
Can I try to use the panel?
Sure. Do you just want to kind of like poke at it?
Yes.
You touch the glass and it lights up green and the door just melts.
Amazing. This place is so cool, Juliet.
I mean, objectively, I agree, but,
why are you phrasing it like that? You can just say it's cool.
It's cool.
Now this time, like, you mean it.
It's cool.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah! Yeah?
But, I'm still a little concerned where...
Autumn walks in.
The inhabitants are.
When you walk in, the room... is really kind of dismal. It is just bare concrete walls and a very plain looking boring bed. There's one chair in a corner and that is about it. As soon as you're like halfway into the room, lights from nowhere just illuminate all of the walls and you start seeing projections on several of them. There's a lot of warnings with like lightning bolt symbols and exclamation marks. There's like a progress bar that's slowly emptying. And you see a lot of, you know, what would, you know, I don't know the other way to put, electrical warnings popped up in this room. Other than that, it is totally empty.
Do they look like danger warnings or do they look like error warnings?
I think I've given you what I can give you. There are red flashing lights that have to do with electricity and you see a status bar dwindling.
I do have a question.
Sure.
When you said the door melted, do you mean, like, was that in a, it seems like that's how the door opens way, or is, or in, it's in a pool on the floor kind of way? Like, destructively, it's broken now.
I would say it seems like it was meant to do that. The way these doors open is the whatever the material is liquefies and pours into, like, a slot in the floor.
Okay.
They didn't break it.
Yeah, because melt, I was like, yeah, I was like, melt is like, I was like trying to think. I could see that being either direction. That's why I wanted to clarify.
Yeah, yeah. It, the door liquefied, and that is how the door works.
Can I discern what the progress bar is for by rolling?
You can try to interact with this room by rolling, yeah.
Can I do that too?
Sure. What are you adding to this?
Oh, I'm using my my skill lore of ruins. This seems like something I would have read about in a book.
Okay.
And right before as they go in, you'll hear Fred kind of call out faintly, "Oh, by the way, don't let Juliet touch any control panels. She might break them."
Hey.
Juliet, what are you using?
I did notice. I got a 4.
Okay, gotcha.
I got a 2.
Autumn got a 2. So, Autumn, you are like, okay, I definitely read about this in a book one time where there was this underground tomb and there were all these symbols on the wall. And what it was is you had to solve this puzzle by pressing on certain symbols. And when you pressed on them, you could feel them like click in like they're mechanical buttons, you know, and that opened a secret door and that led to a secret layer, right? So you walk up to these projections that are on solid concrete and are like clunk and are just like poking your finger into concrete. And it does absolutely nothing because you're poking concrete. Meanwhile, Juliet watches you do this and can tell that as you're walking, the projections move in relation to you and track with you so that they can always stay in your field of vision. Your footsteps are being traced across the floor. So like when you turn your head, it like follows you across the walls, you know? And I'll say maybe you like say a phrase. And like you like talk while you're in there and then like you can see another part of the controls change. And this gives you the idea that these are potentially voice activated controls. So you're like poking at the wall, but you said like, oh, I recognize this. Then something pops up that is like clearly taking in speech and does something with the word recognize.
Computer display progress bar.
The progress bar, I will say there is a pause. And then the progress bar just fills the entire room.
Okay.
Whoa! Juliet, that's amazing!
Does it seem to show anything else? Right? My current theory is that it's like how much power is in reserve in this town?
You could ask that directly somehow to a computer.
Okay.
What language do we speak? Do we have a name for the language we speak?
We don't. We never named the language. I'll say that. So I don't know. Right now you're speaking English, but you know, like in that we're literally speaking English.
I mean, we could just go with like what every sci-fi fantasy thing does when there's only really one spoken language. It's called basic or common or whatever.
Well, what planet do we live on?
Did we name the planet?
I can't remember. We did.
Okay. I don't remember what it is then.
I have it somewhere. Hang on. I'm like 90% sure. It doesn't matter. Let's just say that you are speaking a common language.
Can I say, like, translate and then the language we speak to see if it'll translate it into quote-unquote English?
I don't understand what you mean.
Is it not in the language we speak?
Oh, there's no words right now. So far, there's only been symbols.
Okay.
Okay.
But it understood when you spoke.
Right.
Right. Sorry, I thought it was, like, you know, basically, you know, a different language. We understood nothing, and then there were symbols.
Yeah. Computer, commence audio summary of progress bar.
No audio plays, but you see a huge amount of text pop up in the, like, underneath of the status bar, and it's basically a breakdown of a bunch of different, like, battery banks, and, like, the health of all of them, where the current power usage is. You can see, like, a bunch of different, they'd be called, like, cell units that are showing like a power demand and then like battery statuses and where they're at. And so you can see that like it would be like cell unit 1 has really high power usage and none of the rest of them do. And then I think it would be like cell usage 5 shows damaged offline.
Show map of cell unit one?
Show map of cell unit one?
I'm trying to pull up a map of the,
it would show, it's kind of odd. It pulls open a small map of a small structure that's round, and it shows two people inside of it.
Right, so cell unit one is us, because we're turning things on.
Step outside real quick, Juliet.
Okay.
You step outside, and as soon as she moves, you can see, one of the icons move out of the cell unit.
Okay. Show all active humans?
That's good.
Oh, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. Many error messages pop up, and then... Oh, gosh, this is tricky.
Yeah, and he said active humans, which is...
Yeah.
Narrow.
You see a whole lot of, red error, red error, red error, red error, and then it would say, personnel, then some long string number label, location unknown, and then just continuing to cycle through personnel error, personnel error, personnel error.
Okay. I think we would call the other two in and then maybe put together that cell five is probably the one that Guffy is not okay about.
When you asked for a map of the cell units, yeah, I think you could tell that, if it showed where it was in the grid, you would know that's the one that Guffy's not okay with. Yeah.
Do we see any dots in cell 5?
No. In that cell unit 5 is broken. It's offline.
Right.
It's offline. Okay.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't even be able to ask, but you asked for active personnel, and it said one in location unknown, basically.
So there's one other alive thing. Or a live person here is kind of what we can kind of deduce. But we don't know where.
Right.
But that means it's... So I can do this in person. So that... It seems like there's one other person alive here. But we don't know where. But we can see in all of them except cell unit 5? Which I think means we have to go into cell unit 5.
Well, the personnel 15703 could... just be out of range. They could be hunting or gathering or...
Cool, you've narrowed it down to the two things you can do out here, I guess.
Well, right, yes. but they could just be out of range and coming back, or just they moved on. What makes you think that they're here?
It seems likely because... I feel like it would have had a longer list of numbers of location unknown. Do you think this whole complex was for one person?
No, I guess I just mean somebody's tracker could be technically functioning, but just out of range versus broken.
But it would say everyone else's trackers, right?
Maybe there's so many errors or things that we don't know about that could be going on. I guess, Autumn, you seem very nice. You're always optimistic, which I love. But I have to ask you, do you want to go into cell 5 because you actually think there's people in there? Or do you want to go into cell 5 because it smells like adventure?
I want to go into cell 5 because I don't think I could return home without doing that, knowing there might be people in there. We're looking for these kids that were taken by these... Blight dogs? Do you think...
Blighthounds, yes.
Do you think the Blighthounds are going to put them in a nice hotel where we can sneak them away easily?
I don't know that I think they're going to put them in a house.
If that's their den?
All I'm saying is, Guffy says it's bad news, we should be careful.
I didn't say we should be reckless.
That's what you say with your body language everywhere. I took it as a given.
Hurtful. Query, what is this place's function?
Oh, that's also a really good question.
We're just full of good questions.
No, you mean Autumn's full of good questions. Autumn has done both of these amazing questions, and you will give her the credit she is due.
Give me a second. Let me think about the right way to phrase this.
Autumn has done nothing wrong ever in her life.
The... a computer starts to list functions that this has, right? So the thing that you're standing in, like this larger little settlement, is called a cell settlement, which is basically a replicatable, easily expandable habitat that can be like set up just about anywhere with materials that can be easily carried, right? So like you could almost see it like play out a little diagram of like, this is how you build a cell unit. This is like, take out cell unit kit, find a level area, set it down, hit the button. It does its thing. And then like, this is how you run the power cables to it. And basically what it seems like is the purpose of this thing is to be an easily transportable shelter that's like fairly idiot proof and able to sustain life given like almost any environment, like including like limited oxygen, limited food, like the cell units, the structure that you're standing in, they're kind of like a duplicatable thing where like anything can get shoved in there, right? Like you need a room for people to live in. Great. Throw it in there. You need like a greenhouse. Throw it in there. Like, and then the other things over there are like power generation units. Like there's a lot of different ones. It's like made, it's like modular settlements basically that could be carried and set up.
So when you said it looks like concrete, is that from the diagrams that we're seeing, do we think that it was originally set up that way and this like super light concrete is its original form, or it's like a temporary thing that was then made permanent later? Does that make sense?
These, yeah, the material is something that, I don't know how much to like say this just outright. The material would be strange to you. Like the idea, I guess that question, that friction in your mind should be in your mind. That doesn't totally jive with you when it's like, this is a transportable settlement. And then you like look at the, you know, like 4-inch thick concrete walls and you're like, easily transportable? Question mark.
Yeah. Okay.
So is this place meant to be instead of eco orbs?
I don't know. I could see.
Did you say that out loud?
Yes. I said that to the group.
Right. No, no. You said that out loud, and then the screen pops up a message that says, no answer found a query.
I do have a question. What are Estelle and Fred doing during this? Are they in there with you, or are they doing something else?
We called you guys in.
Okay. I missed that.
What eco herb is this group from?
I don't know. You guys can ask that out loud, but the screen says, query does not return answer. No answer found a query.
Okay.
Place of cell origin?
Place of cell origin. I would say it says, sixth lunar factory.
Oh, interesting.
How long has this cell been here?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. You say, how long has this cell been here? And it pops up like a date of establishment, right? And that date of establishment makes no sense to you. It's like series of numbers and months and days that means absolutely nothing. It might as well be like, it was in the year 7 in the month blueberry, right? Like, yeah, it looks like a word that you could read, but the word that it is makes no sense. And then it says like years of operation 10.
How to download archive?
It says insert data storage.
Location of surplus data storages?
Of course.
Unknown. Let me pull the curtain back here a little bit, Zach. Imagine if 50 years ago you got a flash drive with all the information on the computer on it. What would you do with it?
I know, but Autumn doesn't. You know, like...
The reason I'm saying that is because that's a good idea. I understand what you're getting at. It's just something that you can't really chase, and I don't want to, like, cut you off for no reason.
No, that's fine. No, that's fine. Autumn would just be like, oh, this is, like, a thing you do in adventure novels. Like, you get all the information and then run.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You don't sit here and, like, parse through it.
This is just for Juliet's notes. Name of cell settlement?
Oh, it would be, like, cell settlement JS7513. You know, like, just some numeric, like, barcode-y,
okay.
You know.
I can't remember. Did we already get like any kind of what this place was for, the purpose of this place?
No.
You asked what the cell settlement did, what the cell settlement was.
We got the function. We asked about the function.
Yeah, what's the function of the cell settlement?
Okay. What was the answer to that?
Oh, it was just like it's a modular and easily transportable settlement that can basically sustain life almost anywhere, right? Like,
okay.
How do we fix cell 5?
It gives you like a laundry list of like, the first one would be like, door material drained, power connection severed, then just like a million sensors offline, projector broken, audio interface broken, like just, here's a million busted things in this.
I think what that's telling us is there's no save in cell 5.
Well, I was trying to be cautious and see if we could get the sensors back online. She pointedly stares at Juliet.
That would be useful information, for sure.
But it looks like that's not an option, so what do we want to do?
I've got one question. What was in cell 4?
Cell 4 or cell 5?
4.
Cell 1 was the other one he mentioned. Is that what you're... Are you asking about the other one he mentioned?
No, I'm asking about cell 4.
Oh, it would say personal living space of personnel and then like a really long signifier. That would be it.
What was in cell 3?
Personal living space of, you know, personnel, big long string indifier, big long signifier.
Okay, Estella's going to go through all of the numbers that they currently have. Is it just that?
Oh, so like, let's say that there's 20 of these buildings.
Yeah.
10 of them are probably like personnel, and then you might have one, you probably have like 4 that are like food production, maybe one that's storage, one that's machine shop. 5 would be a personnel one.
And 5 is listed as a personnel.
5 would be listed as personnel, and then maybe like canteen and recreation, probably.
Okay.
The really long personnel number we got for the unknown location unknown.
Uh huh.
What cell unit do they match up with?
Not 5.
Okay.
Oh, I would also say probably in there you see several that are called like research lab for organic life, research lab for minerals, research lab for animals, like things like that, all listed out.
Ooh, Julia would want to go to research lab for plant life.
That would require you to walk past cell 5. You want to do that?
Okay.
I do have another question I just thought of.
Go for it.
What is the total cumulative occupancy of this cell settlement? Basically, I want to know how many people have ever lived here.
Oh, yeah. So if there are 20 personnel, what did I say? 10 personnel settlements?
10.
So then total occupancy would have only ever been 10.
Okay. So they were individual houses.
Yeah. So like each room was for one person. There were 10 of them.
Got it. Okay.
What is the current cell occupancy?
Says unknown.
Okay.
I would say it says 9 unaccounted for, 1 location unknown. Or like 9 errors, 1 location unknown.
And cell 5 is one of those like residency cells that it obviously can't see into.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can see into all of them except cell 5, but 9 people are reading error, 1 person's reading like unknown, as in not able to be sensed in the settlement.
When did cell 5 go offline?
2 weeks ago.
So I'm using that to then ask sensor data from that time.
Oh, that's interesting. So you see a map of, so you know, he asked for a map of cell 1 and it showed you and Estelle, or you and Juliet in it. Like right now, if you looked at it, you would see all 4 of you.
Mm-hmm.
You just see like dot indicators with unknown written underneath of all of you. Like it doesn't know what you are, but it knows you're there. When you ask for that, it like says like last 10 minutes of cell data in cell 5. And then you're basically watching a recording of the sensor data, right? Which you can see inside of it, there are 7 of those dots, all with like numeric indicators on them. And then the, like, a door indicating the sensor just reads error, and then all of the dots go blank.
Were the other 3 dots around anywhere?
No.
Okay.
And none of them are the one that's currently listed as unknown.
That's but active.
Correct. Okay. That one was not there. Yeah.
I don't know if this will get us anything useful, but it might be helpful information later down the line. Show us the calendar. Show us the yearly calendar.
Okay, so it opens up a calendar. You can see, like, the months and year does not make sense to you again. Neither does the breakdown. So days are days because they're tied to, like, solar and lunar cycles. So, like, you know, right, a day is one time around the suns. But the weeks are too long and the months are too short. So the subdivisions don't make sense. You can see, like, calendar events in them, you know, that make sense to you, like, meeting about whatever, blah, 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 just random information like that. But as you, like, maybe say, like, hey, scroll back one thing, as it's, like, popping back through months, those months also just don't seem to line up.
Hey, Julia, do you want to write down this year structure? I don't know if this is important, but it's definitely different than what we use. It's apparently someone else is using it.
Right, there's a lot going on in my mind right now, I have to admit. It seems like these people are from one of our moons, and perhaps this calendar structure would tell us which one. If I'm not an expert in astronomy by any means, but maybe somebody in Smoky Banks would be able to tell us if this information matches up with any lunar patterns. That's all I can imagine. I'll write it down, though.
That's kind of what I was thinking, too. Like, maybe someone will recognize some of these words.
I have one more question for the computer, Cody.
Sure.
I don't know the right way to ask this in, like, the computer speak, but I want to ask basically when the last unknown users were here. Basically, I'm trying to see if anyone else besides us came through that was marked as unknown.
You could maybe say, like, user interaction log, and it just basically shows, like, latest is, like, four unknowns talking to the computer.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, gap of 2 weeks, and then it just, like, starts seeing, like, chat log from personnel identifier, chat log from personnel identifier, data entry from personnel identifier, material request from personnel identifier, just, like, a huge list of interactions.
Okay.
But they're actually recognized people, though.
Yes, from 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
What's the last interaction? Like, what's the last chat log say?
Oh, that's really good. The last interaction was from the personnel identifier of the person that shows up as unknown.
Okay.
And it's a material request.
Okay. Is it materials like they're going to be gone for a bit, or?
I think on this computer, you would not be able to see specifically exactly what they requested, because you're basically asking for the browsing history of someone else.
Okay.
And that doesn't show up.
Okay.
This is not their house. Their cell is also not cell 5. Let's say it's cell 7.
Right, because they're not in this.
Because why? It has to have a specific one. Okay. They live in cell 7.
Okay. Is that like we should go to cell 7 or you don't want us to go
Can
to cell
I
7?
Ask for the last door door activity log?
It would be this door melting, and then before that, it would be 2 weeks ago, door went offline.
Okay. So the last thing that happened was something happened terrible in cell 5.
Are you picking up on that?
Well, no, like, I'm just like, you know, like, I'm trying to piece together if people were here, you know.
When was the last chat log that was a material request?
Oh, 3 weeks ago, let's say.
Okay.
When was the last time the computer knew where unknown user was? As in the unknown location, dude.
Oh, last known location of the unknown user, that would be, it shows the user in cell 7 and then walking to, like, a supply cell, and then that's it.
And that was 3 weeks ago.
That would have been 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And 2 weeks ago, everyone died.
Presumably died, yeah.
Well, you're assuming.
Yeah, nothing good happened to them 2 weeks ago.
All right, so I just don't know, Juliet. Like, the adventure part of me 1,000% wants to know what happened in cell 5, but I can't say if the children would actually be there.
I mean, the computer's tracking us, right? It seems like it would track anyone that comes around. So if it didn't,
but if they were dragged straight into cell 5, though,
I guess if they never went into any other building,
I don't know. It feels like there's something here, you know, and like I could be barking up the wrong tree, but.
I will admit that my scientific curiosity is piqued.
Wait, what if we do this? What if Fred does some weird crafting stuff and makes a trap that we can put in front of the door to cell 5 and then open that and hopefully catch whatever's bad in there when it jumps out at us.
I mean, I could try to build something, but how big are the doors?
Can I give a DM note here? Because I don't hate what you guys are doing, but I also like City of Mist, if you're barking up a wrong tree, I'll tell you. It did not say 2 weeks ago the door opened. It said 2 weeks ago the door went offline. There's not a door there.
Okay.
They did not open a door and then all the dots went away. Something came, smashed through a closed door.
Okay.
The door going offline means the door wasn't there. So when Guffy went up and growled, there was nothing between Guffy and the inside of that room.
Oh.
Sorry, I thought it was like the door went offline, so it's just like it sealed itself shut. Like,
yeah.
Like it went offline, it's like all the sensors died. It was just like a box then.
Oh, no. No. Sorry. I only want to tell you this because otherwise, you know, we'd go through this long thing where you build a trap and then walk up and look into the room and like set the trap down.
Okay. Right.
Like if there was something in there, it would have attacked Guffy.
Okay.
Okay.
I just don't want to go through like the long rigmarole of you guys making a trap for something that isn't there.
Oh gosh. That's somehow worse.
I will say though, good thinking, like that train of that much thought into like how to handle like we're going into a dangerous space. Good train of thought, just wrong time to use it. So don't want to discourage you from doing that. But yeah, that's where we're at. Sorry, go ahead.
So wait, so I get a feeling there's not actually a door there all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, I thought I made that clear when Guffy came back. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. It's the whole door offline confused me. I'm used to like the weird, my cool books where like, you know, when doors go offline, it means like you're sealed in somewhere, not.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Something, but you know.
I understand. No, there's no door there. I just, as soon as Guffy started having that reaction, I called him back. And nothing chased him. So, but something's making him unsettled in that room or cell.
So we need to investigate that. Is there any other place we want to investigate here?
I would like to take a look around the organic lab, but perhaps maybe we should look at, if we're going to do something with cell 5, maybe we should do that first.
Yeah, I'm also mildly curious about, what was it, 7 or wherever, where the supply closet, where the person
where
disappeared, that would be.
Do you want to look at the animal habitat too, Estelle?
Oh, I didn't even realize there was animal
there
habitat.
There were labs called like animal lab.
Oh,
like,
of course.
Life,
yeah,
lab,
absolutely. I want to take a look at that. So it looks like we're hitting up most of them.
Fred, do you want to look at the material shop, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I'll take a look there. This place looks pretty advanced. I'm sure we'll find something interesting in there.
Okay, well, do this first, then? Can we give Cell 5 a wide enough berth?
I will say, basically, if you're walking to any other cell, you're walking past Cell 5. Like, Cell 7 is past Cell 5. All of the non-personnel cells are past Cell 5, so you're walking past it one way or the other.
So let's do, out of game, I say let's do Cell 5 first, and then we'll go on to the rest.
Yeah. Estelle's gonna take out, it's not very long, but she's gonna take out her knife that she has, just to have it on her.
When we approach Cell 5, do we get a HUD prompt that says, this is the point of no return, you will not have an opportunity to save after this point.
As you walk towards Cell 5, you can, it's ominous because you can kind of see that there's no door and that the, like, burnt in footprints from the Blight Hounds are concentrated on this point. The, like, as you're walking up, because, you know, imagine you're walking down a row and the door is not facing you, but, like, on the side of it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you have to walk in and turn left into it or turn right into it. You know what I mean? So as you're walking up, you can kind of see that it's gone, and what you can see on the ground is like a puddle of what looks like melted glass that's then solidified and like drops on the ground, like what the door was made of, shattered and then melted and then re-solidified on the ground. The control panel is smashed. There's like obvious claw marks on the side. Do any of you like have flashlights, by the way?
I don't.
Yes. have a Craig flashlight. Yeah.
I have a lighter. You know, could I fashion, like, could I scrounge up some, like, something around to make, like, a little torch?
Yeah. So I'll say as you approach, you know, you've, like, gathered up some, like, dry dead grass and lit it on fire. You have out your crank flashlight providing a dim amount of light. Like, it's sunny outside, but there's no windows on these structures. And so you, like, walk up to the darkness of the door, hold up your light, shine in your flashlight, and what you see is just an explosion of dried blood. Not just dried, but also what looks like slightly rotten and burned. You can see chunks, and there is a horrible smell coming from the room. Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.